Welcome to another deep dive from us here at Next Chapter News.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about something pretty heavy today, cold cases.
Yeah.
Specifically, we're talking about Charlotte, North Carolina.
Right.
Roughly 200 active cold cases.
Huge. Yeah.
Which, when you hear that number, it can be easy to just kind of let it wash over you.
Right.
But we're talking unsolved homicides, disappearances,
Yeah.
stretching back decades.
Decades.
And representing real lives and families who are still out there searching for answers.
Absolutely.
And I think our goal today is to really try to unpack the weight of these unresolved tragedies. And
Yeah.
I think a good way to do that is to focus on like a representative, a hypothetical case
Okay.
to illustrate some of the things that we're talking about. And so we're going to call her Jane Doe.
Okay. I like that.
So it helps to kind of put a face and a name, even if it's hypothetical,
Yeah,
to
story,
the
but
larger issue.
yeah. And I think it's important for us as a news platform that's really focused on Charlotte. You know, these are unfinished stories in our community.
Yeah.
And focusing on a hypothetical, like you said, allows us to look at some of those common threads, the challenges,
Right.
without, you know, intruding on the very real pain of, you know, existing families and stuff like that. So it's
Yeah.
about kind of looking at the broader picture of, you know, these lingering mysteries that are in our midst.
So
Yeah.
let's set the scene.
Okay.
It's fall 1985.
Okay.
Out in the woods off Albemarle Road, a hunter stumbles upon something that I think nobody wants to find:
Yeah.
skeletal human remains.
Oh, wow.
And investigators come to the scene and they determine that there was a likely cause of death:
Okay.
strangulation.
Oh, my goodness.
So obviously a violent end,
Yeah.
no question about it.
Right.
But here's the big detail:
Okay.
no identification.
Oh, wow.
No wallet, no jewelry, just a tattered scrap of clothing to
Really?
give any indication of who this person was.
Ah.
And that's how Jane Doe case begins.
Right. And that lack of immediate identification, I mean, that's got to be like one of the biggest obstacles in a lot of these cold cases.
I would imagine.
Because especially thinking back, you know, 1985, DNA
Yeah.
technology as we know it wasn't really readily available then.
Right.
So you're relying on, you know, they'd have to take dental records, compare them against, you know, missing persons databases, hope that somebody had reported this person missing.
Right. And in our hypothetical scenario, no such match is found.
Right.
So then investigators, they take the next logical step.
Okay.
They create a sketch of Jane Doe circulated in the Charlotte Observer,
Sure.
hoping that somebody will recognize her face.
Tips come in,
Right.
as they do.
Of course, yeah.
But none of them provide that critical piece of the puzzle,
Right.
the link to her identity.
Yeah.
They would pursue other leads available at the time, analyzing soil samples, interviewing anyone who might have been in the area. But in this scenario, those avenues lead to dead ends.
So no luck.
No luck.
And I think, you know, we're using Jane Doe as our focal point here.
Yeah.
But I think it's also good for our Next Chapter News audience to keep in mind
Right.
just how many of these unresolved cases there are in Charlotte.
It's a lot, right?
I mean, the CMPD has, you know, around 600 open homicide cases,
Wow.
and about 200 of those are actively classified as cold cases.
That's a huge number.
Yeah. I mean, these aren't just files, you know, gathering dust.
Right.
These are cases where detectives believe there's still a chance for a breakthrough,
Right.
you know, and they're actively looking for new leads or re-examining existing
Right.
evidence.
So we're not just talking about, stuff that happened in the past couple of years. These go back decades.
Yeah, I mean, these 200 active cold cases, they span from like the 1960s up to the early 2000s.
Wow.
So, and it's not just homicides where the perpetrator is unknown.
Right.
I mean, you've got disappearances that are now, you know, presumed to be fatal,
Right.
and cases where crucial witnesses have vanished or can no longer be found.
And they're all over the place, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're spread out all throughout Charlotte and the wider Mecklenburg County.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's no real concentration
Yeah,
geographically.
it's not like one particular area
Right.
that has been, overly affected by this. It's really spread out.
Right.
So each of these 200 cases has its own unique challenges,
Oh, yeah.
and they're often magnified by the passage of time.
Of course.
If we go back to our 1985 Jane Doe,
Okay.
it's important to think about what were the investigative limitations in that era.
Right.
Identifying somebody who was unknown
Right.
was a much more complex undertaking without all of the forensic tools that we have today.
Right. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
They had to rely on often fragmented physical evidence.
Yeah.
You've got the fallibility of memory and witness
Oh,
testimony,
wait,
and
wait, wait.
You know, back then, missing persons databases were a lot less comprehensive.
Yes.
So if those initial leads didn't pan out, the investigation could stall very quickly.
Right. And so for Jane Doe, the absence of, you know, a lot of this technology meant that investigators were facing a much steeper uphill battle right from the start.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, Charlotte has obviously grown a lot over the past few decades.
Oh, yeah.
And it's impossible to ignore how that growth has potentially impacted these cases.
Right.
I mean, the city's transformed.
Absolutely.
And with that transformation comes a kind of a sobering reality.
What's that?
It's been noted by some that cold cases disproportionately affect marginalized communities.
Interesting.
And the argument has been made that maybe this contributed to delays or less intensive investigations in those, you know, initial crucial periods.
Yeah. So like maybe certain cases weren't given the same level of attention or scrutiny.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely something.
Right. And how does that connect with the bigger picture?
You know,
for our next chapter news audience, I mean, it makes you think about, you know, the societal factors at play here, right? I mean, Charlotte going from this kind of mid-sized city in the 80s to this sprawling metropolis it is today.
Right.
It suggests that individuals might have been more easily lost in the crowd.
Yeah.
Their disappearances maybe not registering as urgently in a larger, more diffuse population.
Right. If you go missing in a small town, it's a lot more noticeable than if you go missing in a huge city.
Yeah, makes sense.
But on the other hand,
the
investigative landscape has shifted so dramatically since 1985.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the advancements in technology are incredible.
It's amazing.
Things like DNA databases, CODIS, the development of genetic genealogy have offered so much renewed hope for these decades-old cases.
Yeah. I mean, you see it all the time.
Yeah. And we've even seen success stories right here in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the identification of Jose Espinoza, missing since 2003, and identified in 2017 through DNA.
I mean, that just goes to show.
Really shows you what these tools can do.
That's possible, yeah.
And it's like they provide this new lens through which to view cold cases.
Right, like you can go back and look at these old cases with fresh eyes and new information.
If we go back to our hypothetical Jane Doe.
Okay.
Even like trace amounts of biological material that were collected in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
Like a hair follicle or a bone fragment, could potentially yield a usable DNA profile today.
It's incredible.
And then that profile could be compared against known offender databases or through genetic genealogy, which is where you use a DNA profile to search publicly available genealogy databases.
Exactly.
Looking for distant relatives who might be able to lead investigators to the unknown individual.
Right. So it's like you cast a wider net.
Right.
And you can potentially identify her family.
And so you see how...
So you can see how going back and looking at the evidence from the Jane Doe case with these new resources could potentially yield completely new leads.
But even with all these amazing advancements, the cold case unit is facing this just relentless challenge against time.
Yeah.
Because physical evidence degrades over time.
Of course.
Witnesses' memories fade.
They become unreliable.
Yeah. And people who might hold crucial information.
Right.
Potential suspects may have passed away.
It's true.
So it really is a race against the clock.
Absolutely. And that's why these initiatives like the Psaki Grant are so important.
Sexual Assault Kit Initiative.
Yeah.
$2.5 million was awarded to Charlotte Mecklenburg in 2022.
Wow.
And that has provided these crucial resources for retesting old evidence.
Right.
And I mean, the fact that that has already resulted in 977 DNA profiles being uploaded to CODIS.
Really?
And 463 hits.
That's amazing.
Really shows you the potential of these programs.
Yeah, that's a lot of new information that's been unlocked.
Yeah, and so the question is...
The question, of course, is...
Is that breakthrough possible for Jane Doe?
Right. Could that happen in this case, too?
And it brings us back to, I think, a really fundamental truth that we here at Next Chapter News want to emphasize.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these 200 active cold cases represents a life that was lost.
Right. A person.
A victim whose story remains untold.
Absolutely.
And a family left in this state of perpetual grief and uncertainty.
And the CMPD themselves acknowledge this.
Yeah.
You know, the ongoing pain that's endured by these families who are still desperately seeking closure and a sense of justice.
So it's not just about solving a crime.
Right. It's about the human impact.
It's about the human impact.
It's a ripple effects.
Yeah. And this is, I think, the most profound aspect of cold cases.
What do you mean?
Is the enduring human toll.
Yeah.
For every unidentified individual like our Jane Doe.
Yeah.
There are loved ones out there.
Right.
Who never received answers.
And And we don't know anything about her.
Right.
She could be somebody's sister, a daughter, a friend.
And that's just one case.
Right.
And there's this, I mean, I think it's important to note that a significant percentage of missing persons cases involve juveniles.
Really?
So you're talking about particularly vulnerable victims.
That's heartbreaking.
And Charlotte going from that smaller city in 1985 to the sprawling urban center of today.
Right.
It makes you wonder how many people might have disappeared
mm-hmm.
without that same kind of close-knit community awareness that might have existed in the past.
Yeah, like if somebody goes missing in a smaller town, everybody knows.
Right.
But in a big city.
And we can just kind of fall through the cracks.
Yeah, disappear.
It's scary to think about.
So Charlotte's 200 active cold cases, they really represent this unfinished chapter in our city's ongoing story.
It's true.
And they're unresolved tragedies scattered throughout our community.
Right.
Whether it's a killing in the Hidden Valley neighborhood, a disappearance near Uptown, or unidentified remains discovered in rural Mecklenburg County.
It's everywhere.
I mean, even the infamous Starnes murders of 1963 serve as this chilling example of just how long some cases can remain unsolved.
And, you know, as we've seen through the lens of our hypothetical Jane Doe, these cases often remain dormant.
Yeah.
The files rarely see new activity unless fresh information or a new lead comes to light.
And that's why the public plays such a critical role in all of this.
Right.
You know, even what seems like a tiny, insignificant piece of information.
Right.
Something that, you know, a member of our Next Chapter News audience might have witnessed or heard years ago and dismissed at the time.
Right.
Could be the thing that finally cracks a decades-old mystery.
Right. You never know what little detail could be the missing link.
And law enforcement relies so heavily on the community's willingness to come forward with anything.
Absolutely. And that is why we want to clearly share the CMPD's request for public assistance.
Please come forward.
If you have any information at all, no matter how small or unimportant it might seem to you, please reach out to the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department.
Absolutely.
Their number is 704-336-7600. You could also contact Charlotte Crime Stoppers anonymously.
Right, good point.
It's 704-334-1600.
Yeah, so there's options.
Your call could be the one that brings closure to a family who has waited far too long for answers.
Absolutely, and it's important to remember for our listeners that as of today, March 17th, 2025, these 200 active cold cases remain open.
Wow.
Which, you know, it reflects the ongoing dedication of the CMPD's cold case unit.
Right. These are people who are still working these cases every day.
But it also highlights the inherent, you know, complexities and limitations in solving crimes that occurred so many years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, justice in these cases can be a really long and incredibly challenging pursuit.
So we come back to our hypothetical Jane Doe.
Right.
Her story, while not based on a specific individual, is built from the very real circumstances of Charlotte's 200 active cold case files.
Yeah, she's like a stand-in for all of them.
Yeah, and she serves as this really stark symbol of those unsolved investigations, this silent wait for identification, for justice, for her story to finally be brought to light.
Right, and it leaves us as a community and as a news source for Charlotte with a pretty profound question.
Yeah.
How many other stories like Jane Doe's remain untold?
Out there.
Not just within our city.
Yeah.
But, you know, in communities across the nation.
Right.
And what responsibility do we have as a society to remember these forgotten individuals and to keep seeking justice on their behalf?
No matter how much time has passed.
That's a tough question.
It is a tough question.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn more about this topic and other important true crime stories from our city, you can visit us at nextchapternews.com.
Good resource.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.